So that's the opening reading we have for tonight. We have Mr. Mark McFarland going to speak to us this evening, and his topic is anxiety and stress, what the Bible says. And so we'll hand things over to Mark, and we'll let him speak to us on this subject. Mark.
Thank you. So good evening, friends. Thank you for all joining this evening. So tonight, what we want to consider is a very relevant topic, and one that has been brought to the forefront, certainly over the last year or so, with the pandemic continuing on and affecting our daily lives. And that consideration is anxiety and stress. And particularly, we want to look at what the Bible says about it. It's not a comfortable topic to consider. It's never easy to talk about these things. We don't often like to admit to anxieties or stresses we have in our own personal lives, but it's something that can affect our everyday lives. And more importantly, it can affect our spiritual lives and how we serve our God. But before we begin tonight, I want to start by saying I'm not an expert on this subject by any means. I'm not going to be giving you any instructions on how to fully alleviate your own stresses and anxieties that you experience in your life. I'm not going to be talking about any treatment or any therapy or any other solutions for anything major in these situations. We certainly don't want to downplay any serious issues out there that anyone may be experiencing, as this can be a very sensitive and tough subject. And it can also be a very broad topic as well. I'm not going to be saying that there's a cure for all of our stresses or anxieties, or that the cure is, you know, to read the Bible more, or that we need to pray more in our lives. Although that's never a bad practice, to read our Bible and to pray more, just saying to do that is not going to cure all the stress and anxieties that we may be experiencing. In some of the more serious cases, certainly therapy can be helpful, or even certain medication can be used within reason. But discussing these things is not the goal this evening. We're not going to be considering serious medical conditions. Our goal is to analyze what the Word of God says and to take lessons from the verses in Scripture and apply those lessons in our daily lives. We want to look at some of the examples of individuals who at one point or another dealt with anxiety or stress and see if this is something new or has this been going on throughout history. So let's get into this topic tonight. So this is our agenda for this evening. First, we want to briefly define anxiety and stress. Is there a difference? What role do they play in day-to-day life? We then will identify common causes in our lives, and for each of us, that will be different depending on our status, our age, our gender, or even our environment. We will then consider what the Bible has to say about this, specifically looking at verses on this subject. And then we want to look at examples so we can take lessons from those examples and apply them into our lives. Then we'll touch on why we go through anxiety and stresses. And then lastly, we're going to end with this question. Is this all there is? Are we resigned to a stressful and anxious life? Or is there something out there that is better? So let's start with defining these two words, stress and anxiety. And we will define these at a very high level. So this is from the Canadian Mental Health Association, and they say stress and anxiety are often used interchangeably, and there is overlap between stress and anxiety. Stress is related to the same fight, flight, or freeze response as anxiety. And the physical sensations of anxiety and stress may be very similar. The cause of stress and anxiety are usually different, however. Stress focuses on mainly external pressures on us that we're finding hard to cope with. When we are stressed, we usually know what we're stressed about, and the symptoms of stress typically disappear after the stressful situation is over. Anxiety, on the other hand, isn't always as easy to figure out. Anxiety focuses on worries or fears about things that could threaten us, as well as anxiety about the anxiety itself. Stress and anxiety are both part of being human, but both can be problems if they last for a long time or have an impact on our well-being or daily life. So what this is saying is that the causes of both stress and anxiety can be different at times. Stress can be brought on from external sources, while anxiety is tougher to pinpoint. Anxiety can linger in our minds. It can be there even if no stress or situation is involved. Now, we aren't going to go any deeper into the similarities or differences of them, because what we want to key on are these two highlighted sections, that both are a part of being human and both have an impact on our well-being or daily life. So they're both extremely important factors in determining our quality of life. So what can bring on stress or anxiety in our lives? What are some common causes? Well, up on the screen here is a short list, and this certainly isn't exhaustive by any means, but let's consider some of these. So common causes could be work, school, our home life, relationships, family, money issues, perhaps climate change. It could be lack of faith or not believing in something. It could be health. It could be not feeling fulfilled in life or having a purpose. Public speaking is a very common one. Or not feeling like you fit in. And certainly for a lot of us, the COVID pandemic has brought on a lot of stress and anxiety into our lives. These are different examples where stress and anxiety can creep into our lives. It's something that is so prevalent in our society, and this list could go on even further. For some, it may be stress or anxiety within our jobs, taking on too much, or the pressure of constant deadlines and targets. Or we have issues within our family environments, difference of opinions, different priorities or values. Our society even pushes stress into our lives. Social media or Instagram pushes a lavish lifestyle, extravagant homes or tropical vacations around the world and the pursuit of those things. We see those lifestyles and we associate happiness with them. We want some of the same things. We want the same experiences, or else our life isn't fulfilled or considered a success. We can create anxiety in our lives when we compare ourselves to other people, when we look at others' happiness or their health or even their wealth. Maybe it is the pursuit of money. I think this is something that most of us would struggle with. At what point do we stop worrying or thinking about money? Do we ever? I would put forward to you that this particular stress is not something that goes away, at least not completely. Because we as humans are never satisfied with what we have. Nothing is ever enough. So let's take the most extreme example that we can possibly think of. And that's Elon Musk. Now, most of you know this man. He's the CEO of companies such as Tesla and SpaceX. So why do I bring him up? Well, he is now the richest man alive. He has an estimated net worth of $197 billion. And we're going to be doing some fun, albeit kind of sad math here. And this man is 49 years old. He's about to be 50. So let's say he has on average approximately 30 years left to live till he's 80 years old. If he wanted to sit back and spend his money, how much would he have to spend for him to do that? Now, I know this is not how net worth works, but for this exercise, let's assume he's able to spend $150 billion of that money. If he wanted to spend $150 billion in his remaining years of approximately 30 years, he would need to spend $5 billion a year to do that. If we took that even further, that equates to 13,698,630.14 per day. And if we go one more level, that works out to $597,776 per hour. That's per hour he needs to spend to use up his wealth. That's outrageous amounts of money that this man has. I can't even begin to think of any possible way a man or even a family of people can spend that amount of money. It's an absurd amount of money for one person to have. So why do I bring this up? It's certainly not to add even more stress into your life by considering what this man has accumulated, but we wanted to ask the question, does this man sit back and say he has enough? He certainly doesn't have the stress about money in the same way maybe some of us do. He doesn't worry about where his next meal comes from or his next rent or mortgage payment, but he isn't content either. He refuses to sit back and accept that what he has is enough. He is constantly working and stressing to expand his empire, to grow and to purchase more companies, to enhance his net worth even further. This man never rests. So if a person like this isn't satisfied with his money, isn't satisfied with what he has, at what point will humans stop trying to acquire more? I would put forward to you, there is no limit to the amount of things we want in life. The stress and anxiety of wanting and having more will never go away, no matter our point in life. So how do we find that balance of contentment with what we have, or to alleviate some of our day-to-day stresses? The anxiety and stresses of acquiring more wealth is not a new concept, and one that will never be satisfied fully. Our human nature won't allow us this comfort in this life, to be able to live a stress-free or anxious-free life. So how do we combat this? One way is to accept what we do have and realize that it's given to us by God. It may be a little amount or it might be a lot, but whatever the amount is, it's from God and he knows what we need. So we need to have the mindset of appreciation, a change from not constantly wanting more, but to be content with what we're given. I personally need to pray every day for help to accept that fact, to accept that what I have is enough, to learn to appreciate what I have each day. I need a mental reset of my outlook. So when I think about our world and the list of stresses and anxieties we face, we put forward that we don't ever those stresses don't ever fully disappear. If it's not one thing, it will be something else. And at different stages and points in our life, different things become more important to us. We all deal with something and to different extents. So how can we use God's word to help us lessen the burden of these things and keep our minds on the things of the kingdom? We can find peace and comfort within the pages of the Bible. We can help our lives by looking at this book. Like we said at the beginning, it will not solve all anxieties and stresses we experience, but it certainly won't hinder us as well. We can read of passages that can refocus or recenter our lives and bring our minds back to consider what should really matter to us. It's a timeless book that contains more wisdom than any other book and can certainly give us good insights into how we can deal with certain types of stress and anxieties. We talked about how stress and anxieties can be unique to individuals. What causes me stress is different from what causes you stress. Not all of us are at the same stage of life or in the same tax bracket or in the same family environment. Stress and anxiety doesn't take the same form for us all. But hopefully tonight, each one of us can take away some practical examples to apply in our lives to help alleviate some of those things that we may struggle with. As this is a Bible lecture, let's now consider what our Bibles have to say on the subject. For the next section of our class, we want to highlight some verses on anxiety and stress, as well as look at some examples in scripture of men and women who dealt with anxieties and stresses. and what they did to help them in those situations. So off the top of your head, can you think of any verses that speak on anxiety and stress? Now, I use the King James Version, and when I look in that translation, you will not find one verse that specifically uses the word anxiety or stress. So the question arose for me, does that mean it isn't in here? Well, the newer translations like the New King James Version, the ESV or the NET Bible, anxiety or stress does appear quite often. And I've put a list up here on the screen for you of some of the occurrences. And we'll go through a couple of these examples, but I just wanted to give you a sense that this is something that is very prevalent throughout the Bible. It's in both the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And the context of these verses is very interesting as well. We have context of parents feeling anxiety in relation to the wives that their son has chosen in Genesis 26, verse 35. In this case, we have a stress and anxiety that a parent feels in the choices that their child has made, something that is very relatable to our lives. Now, I'm not a parent, but I'm sure for those who are, this is a real stress. This can cause sleepless nights to make sure that your child has chosen the right partner. That is a common stress that most parents would feel. And Isaac and Rebecca were no different. They felt the same way. It's very relatable for us. So here are some of the verses on the slide for us to consider. In Proverbs 12, verse 25, it knows how much these things can weigh us down, but it reminds the reader of how even small encouraging words from a friend or family can lift up those spirits. We can take this to heart in our relationships. Our words can have a profound impact on the thoughts and emotions of others. We can lift up someone's attitude just by asking how they're doing, or letting them know that we're there for them, or that we're thinking of them. Small deeds can change the outlook of a person dramatically. We have Solomon in Ecclesiastes 11 reminding us to not dwell on emotional stress in our youth, because our youth is fleeting. Enjoy the health and the energy that it brings, and not to dwell within our own minds and to bring that emotional stress into our lives at such a young age. Focus on the positives, the exuberance, the excitement that being young brings. We have Paul imploring us to cast all anxiety and cares upon God through prayer in Philippians 4, verse 6. And it's reminding us to not let anything fester in our life. Don't dwell on those things and try to work on them alone. Allow God to help us in our struggles, to say them out loud, so to speak, when going to God in prayer. Psalm 94, verse 19 is a beautiful psalm to remind us of the comforts of God and how even with the multitude of stresses and anxieties within us, the thought of God's abundant mercy and love can delight our minds. If we consider God's love and his kindness towards us, it can change us just by focusing on him instead of the things that weigh us down. These are some great verses for us to turn to in our daily struggles, to change our mindset from thinking of the things that weigh us down to considering God and what he has done and is doing in our lives. A change of perception or mindset can have a profound impact on the stresses and anxieties of life. So let's turn to a few others from our list and consider them in more detail. In 1 Samuel 1, verse 15 and 16, this is the story of a faithful woman named Hannah. And Hannah was barren, and she so desperately wanted a child. And let's read verses 15 and 16. As Hannah is responding to Eli as to why she was praying so intently to God. But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman. For all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." The NET translates "troubled in spirit" in verse 15 as "under a great deal of stress." And we can feel and sense her pain here, can't we? For someone to want a child so bad, she was under a great deal of stress and vexation, or anxiety as it puts it. She had no more options. She was struggling with this for years. She felt she had no hope. And her solution was to pour out her heart to God. And God rewards her faith and gives her Samuel, who then she vows back unto God. But what we want to pull out of this section isn't how directly God answers her, but how we can feel and sense and relate to her emotions here. We can relate to this helpless feeling, this feeling of nowhere else to turn. Maybe we've been in this situation before. Maybe we're there right now. But this type of feeling is not new. Anxiety and stress is something that has been affecting people for thousands of years. The next section we want to consider is in Psalm 38, our reading for tonight. And we'll read the first 8 verses of this psalm. It says, "O Lord, do not continue to rebuke me in your anger. Do not continue to punish me in your raging fury. For your arrows pierce me, your hand presses me down. My whole body is sick because of your judgment. I'm deprived of health because of my sin. For my sins overwhelm me. Like a heavy load, they are too much for me to bear. My wounds are infected and starting to smell because of my foolish sins. I am dazed and completely humiliated. All day long, I walk around mourning. For I am overcome with shame. My whole body is sick. I am numb with pain and severely battered. I groan loudly because of the anxiety I feel." This is David here being very open and honest with his thoughts for us. And we get a real sense of his inward struggle, the weight of everything coming down upon him. Again, we can put ourselves in David's shoes here with his descriptive language. It says he's groaning loudly within himself because of the anxiety that he feels. The pain has now become numb to him. If we feel this way sometimes, this is a really good psalm for us to consider, because David's thoughts are not limited to just these verses. He continues on with his struggle throughout the whole psalm. But David has a belief in his God that he will eventually deliver him from these troubles. He doesn't know when, but he has the faith that it will happen. Verse 15 of this psalm, he says, "Yet wait for me, O Lord. You will respond, O Lord my God." And down in verse 21 and 22, "Do not abandon me, O Lord my God. Do not remain far away from me. Hurry and help me, O Lord, my deliverer." David's in a rough place, a dark place, and he doesn't know when it will end. But his faith does not waver. He wants a quick resolution, like we all want in our lives. But he knows that God will eventually respond when it is in his will to do so. We'll consider David more in a little bit, because he's a man whose life is well documented for us. His struggles are there for us to read about, and we can relate to the stresses that this man felt in his life. But let's look at the last occurrence in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 42. And this is Martha and Mary and the relationship that they had with Jesus. And let's read these verses. "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So Martha is busy. She's making sure everyone is comfortable and cared for. She's stressed out. And anybody who's hosted people can relate to this, where you're busy cleaning the house, you're preparing food and drinks, you're making sure everybody has a place to sit, you're refilling the ice tray. You're busy to ensure everyone is comfortable. And Martha is finally so fed up with her sister as she's running around the house, and every time she passes by Christ, she sees her sister sitting there. And we know that feeling, right? When something is bothering us so much, it just builds up and festers. And in our mind, we're talking to ourselves saying, how could this person sit there and not help? Or how could this person be so oblivious to what I'm doing? And we continue to rile ourselves up until finally it just bubbles over. And Martha has finally had enough and says to Jesus, don't you see me running around here, working up a sweat and making sure everyone is comfortable? You know, please tell my sister, help me. But Christ slows her down here. And he says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Now, Martha was doing a good thing here. She was helping others, but that distracted her from listening to Jesus. She lost sight of where the focus should be, on God and on listening to his son expound his words to others. And this is a tough passage to consider because volunteering and hosting people and making sure everybody's taken care of is important. But Christ is saying here, God's word will be what saves you. God's words are eternal. That's where our focus needs to be. And to not pull others away from that. We can't let our personal lives affect our spiritual lives or lose focus on what we should be considering. And Christ is trying to refocus Martha's mind here. Focus on the things that are eternal, not fleeting and passing away. Now, let's take a look at some examples of individuals in Scripture that felt stress or anxiety in their situations. And we want to consider how they dealt with it. But more importantly, what we want to do is look at what practical lessons we can take away from how they dealt with their circumstances. And we want to see if we can apply those same principles in our lives to lessen the burden of our daily stresses and anxieties that we face. Let's start by looking at Moses. And Moses was a man who dealt with great stress and anxiety in his life. He had anxieties about going before Pharaoh, and he needed Aaron to be his spokesperson. He had struggles of leading the people in the wilderness for 40 years. He faced daily stresses. But the particular example we want to focus on is in Exodus 18. So let's all open our Bibles and turn there to Exodus chapter 18. And this story takes place when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, comes out and meets Moses and the children of Israel as they're in the wilderness. And they offer burnt offerings and sacrifices to God because he's delivered them out of Egypt. So let's start reading from verse 13 of Exodus chapter 18. And we're going to read all the way down to verse 24. So Exodus 18, starting at verse 13. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one and another and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. And all this people will also go to their place in peace. So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. So Jethro sees how Moses sits and judges the people, and it takes him all day from morning till evening. And Jethro knows this isn't healthy. And he says to Moses, you're going to wear yourselves out. It's too much of a burden for you. And he gives some practical advice on how to deal with this stress of judging this large nation. And Moses listens to the advice that he's given. So what is some practical advice that we can take away from this story? And how can we apply it to the stresses and anxieties that we face? Perhaps we're taking on too much at work or at school or in the household. We're doing too much and, you know, we can't say no, or that we think it's just better if we do it ourselves because, well, we know it's going to get done and it's going to get done properly. Well, we too can wear out like Moses. We need to be open to advice from other people. We can also learn to delegate tasks to others to help lessen the workload in our lives. And lastly, we also need to be honest about how much work we can take on in life. It's okay to say no if we have too much going on. We can burn ourselves out. These are some great practical points for us to apply in our lives so we too don't get overwhelmed. What about David and Jonathan? David is fleeing for his life here, and all of his problems keep compounding. No matter where he turns, he feels like he's hemmed in by Saul and about to be killed. He's constantly on the run. He has no time to rest. And he's holding himself in the wood, and he needs help. He's at a real low point in his life. And who's there to help him? Jonathan. So let's all turn to 1 Samuel 23, and we're going to read verses 15 to 18 to get a better understanding of this situation. So this is 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verses 15 to 18. And it says, so David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph, in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. And David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. So Jonathan rises up because he knows this is a stressful and anxious time for his friend. He knows he needs his help. So Jonathan goes and finds him, and he strengthens his hand in God. When David needed it most, Jonathan was there. David couldn't do it himself. He needed outside help. He needed a friend to be there for him. And we can take lessons from both of these men, both David and Jonathan. We can be the person that is down in life, that is just exhausted at the circumstances we find ourselves in. And we need to reach out to our friends or family who will be there for us. We need to be vulnerable to those people to help strengthen us. Or we need to be a Jonathan. We need to be that friend to others. We need to be able to go to someone and strengthen them in God, to refocus their mind and their faith. And we need to be that person that will go out of our way or above and beyond to help someone who is struggling. We can take so many lessons from both sides, from the person that is struggling or the person who is there to help. But friendship can be such an important piece that can help our own stress and anxieties that we feel in our daily lives. Let's look at one more example from the Bible, and that's the example of Jesus. And this was a man who had daily stresses and anxieties to deal with. To list a few, he had nowhere to lay his head. Multitudes would follow him. He couldn't find rest or alone time. He was rejected in his own city, the place where he grew up. His friends abandoned him in his most pressing time of need when he was about to die. This was a man that at times felt alone in the world. He had his Father in heaven, but his own family didn't understand him. His friends were often confused at his teachings, and he was betrayed by one of his own. He endured daily stress and anxieties in his ministry. So how did he deal with those things? What did he do to help himself? Well, let's read of one instance of a stressful time for Christ, and that comes out in Matthew 14, verses 10 to 13, and I'll read that for you. That's Matthew 14, verse 10 to 13. It says, "So he sent and had John beheaded in prison." This is Herod who did that. "And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. And when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself." Jesus had heard that John the Baptist was killed. And for anyone to lose someone they were close to, it's an extremely tough and difficult time. And for Christ, he needed time to reflect, to remove himself from his life for a moment, and to think within himself. And we can apply some of these principles in our lives. It may not always be in a circumstance like losing a loved one, but perhaps the daily stress or anxiety we're facing can be helped by removing ourselves from it. Take time away from that thing that is causing us pain and sorrow or heartache. Take the time to refocus your mind and to think clearly. Don't push it to the back of our minds. Don't make ourselves more busy in life or hide what we're feeling. Really take the time to ourselves to deal with what we're facing. Make time for us and seek that place of peace and quiet. By taking that time and removing ourselves from the situation, it can release a great amount of anxiety and stress in our lives. We don't have time to consider other examples, but the Bible is full of great lessons we can take away and apply in our lives to help alleviate anxieties and stresses that we face each day. If you're interested, you can take a look into the lives of Joseph. He was a man who was betrayed by his brethren. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused, and he was imprisoned. He had all kinds of stresses that he faced in his life. There's Esther, who was faced with a task of saving her people, and it could have led to her death, but she overcame. You can look at Abraham and Sarah. You can look at Nehemiah and going back and rebuilding Jerusalem and all the challenges that he faced. There are lots of practical lessons that we can take away from Nehemiah's life and apply in our lives to help us. And of course, there's Paul, a man beaten, shipwrecked, persecuted. There's so many examples for us to look at and see how they dealt with stresses and anxieties in their lives. And we can take those lessons and practically apply them in our own lives. There will be lessons of consulting with others or taking our time to think things through, removing ourselves from the situation to think of things objectively, the importance of a positive attitude, or even reframing our minds to think of things differently. As you go through, there will be so many things that can help us to overcome the things we face. I recommend going through the exercise as there is something for all of us, no matter what we face. So the question remains, why do we go through anxieties and stresses at all? Why does God put us through all of this? What is the purpose? I've listed a few verses on the screen as to why we face the things we do in life. It's never an easy thing to consider or for us to really fully comprehend, to wonder why we go through the things that we do. But two sections of verses are helpful to explain this to us. And those are in Jeremiah 17 verse 10 and Deuteronomy 8 verse 2 to 5. And Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. This verse tells us about God searching us out, and that if he finds grace and love, or he sees his character in us, he will reward us for it. It is our true character that comes to the forefront when we experience stress and trials or anxieties in life. It is to test our character, how we respond to our circumstances and environments. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 to 5, it also helps us to get a better understanding of why we go through what we do, and how God is testing us to try our hearts to see if we will follow him or not. Deuteronomy 8 verse 2 to 5 says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Daily anxieties and stresses are not easy for us to endure. But God is searching our hearts. He's testing our minds to help us reflect his character and to be more like him. And if we can do that, we will be rewarded for it. And what is our reward? Our reward is the kingdom to come, friends. A kingdom with no more stress and anxiety. If we can endure what we face in this life, if we can weather the storm, and if we can continue to focus and to place our trust in our God, he will give us his kingdom. if when we're tried and our characters are revealed, if they are like unto gods, he will see to it to reward us for our endurance. Let's end with a beautiful verse from Isaiah 35, verse 4 and 10. And they're really great verses for us to end with because it reminds us of the hope that we have and how there will be a time coming with no more anxiety and stress. Isaiah 35, verse 4 and 10 says, "Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Stress and anxiety in our life is not going to go away, but there are ways that we can lessen the burden it has on us. We can use the examples we considered tonight and apply those principles to help us, to help take away some outside factors that are affecting us. We can work on our environment, our outlook, or even our attitude. And those changes will help us with our daily struggles. We have a reward, a great reward, that will outweigh anything that we can fathom in this life, if we can endure to the end. So let us each day try to turn our focus on what can lead us to eternal life, a life where all stress and anxiety will be done away with for good. Thank you.